Hi, welcome everyone. This is Barbara Friesner of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System and AgeWiseLiving.com. And I want to welcome you to tonight's free teleseminar, The 13 Steps to Successfully Resolving Your Elder Care Issues and Finally Getting a Good Night's Sleep. And I am so excited about this teleseminar tonight that I could barely sleep last night. Over the past couple of weeks, I kept seeing the number of registrations for this call increase literally by hundreds of registrants every day. And we officially have over 1,300 people signed up. Yowza! I mean, it just blows my mind, and I'm so excited to have you all here. And some people suggested that I should make this teleseminar just like the top five most important or the top three most important. But there really isn't a top five or a top three. All of the steps are important, even if you don't do them all, or even if you don't do them all in order. So tonight we're going to look at all 13 steps to successfully resolving your elder care issues and finally getting a good night's sleep. I also want to urge you to stay tuned at the end of the call because I have an offer that's good for a short time only as a gift from me to you. And this offer will be good only until midnight Eastern time on July 31st, and there are no exceptions to that. So please do stick around for that announcement at the end of the call. So with that, let's get going. So as I said, I'm Barbara Friesner, and I am a generational coach and the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System and the founder of AgeWise Living, where our mission is to help families help their aging loved ones make difficult decisions. And not only do I help the families know what to do, I also help the families communicate with their aging loved one so their aging loved one will actually do what's in their best interest, which, as many of you know, if you're caregivers, that's the hard part. In other words, I help families resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. And I work with the family members, only the family members, never the seniors. And all the work that I do is by phone, so I work with families all over the world. In fact, I just started working with a daughter who is living in China. Her parents and her siblings are here in the U.S., and she's working over there, and they're spread out all over the U.S., and so I'm working with her and her siblings. And speaking of siblings, since sibling issues can be a big issue for a lot of families, in fact, many people tell me that sibling issues are more difficult to deal with than elder care issues, I also help siblings work successfully together. Now, helping your aging parents is one of the most loving things you can do. And we caregivers are helping our aging loved ones at one of the most difficult times of their lives. And for many, it'll be a joy. For many more, on the other hand, it will be frustrating and stressful and exhausting. But the most important thing to remember is that providing care and support for an aging loved one is an act of love. And while many parents willingly and lovingly accept their children's help, unfortunately, not everyone's parents see it that way. So as much as you're trying to help, the life of a caregiver can be draining and stressful and overwhelming and frustrating, and for some even filled with guilt and resentment and anger. As a result, a lot of family members will just drop difficult elder care issues and hope that it'll all just resolve itself or you know, just magically go away or drop it until it becomes a crisis. The good news is it doesn't have to be that way. And that's why I'm so excited about doing this teleseminar, because elder caregivers have enough to worry about. Elder care was a journey that started for me more than 25 years ago as the caregiver first for my grandmother for many years and then for the past 17 years for my mother, who had severe advanced dementia. In fact, I became a generational coach as a result of my more than 25 years of experience. Now, helping my grandmother was relatively easy because we were really close. With my mother, on the other hand, it wasn't so easy because, frankly, we weren't all that close. But after my father died, my mother needed help. And initially I said to my sister, this time it's your turn. And she was more than happy to do it. She lived near my mother, and she was more than happy to do it. But my mother absolutely refused. She would only let me do it. Maybe because I had no husband or children, so she thought my life was so pathetic that I needed the help, needed something to do with my life. Or maybe because I had taken care of my grandmother, which was her mother, so she, you know, wanted me to do the same for her. I don't know. Maybe it was both. But I was happy to do it, and that wasn't a problem. And as time went on, and as my mother's dementia got worse, I got more involved. initially, for my mother, I was handling her finances, and that was easy because she wanted me to do that. Like many women of her generation, my father had handled all of the finances, so she really didn't know what to do or how to do it, and they really overwhelmed her. But with issues that she didn't want to do, like getting her to stop driving or moving her into an assisted living, it was not so easy. In fact, it was not easy at all. And I had a lot of questions, but no answers. This was before the Internet. If you can imagine a time before the Internet, this was before the Internet. So I had to find the answers for myself. And I soon discovered that finding the answers and getting someone else to do what needs to be done are two very different things. And to make it more difficult, I had a full-time job where I was on the road 300 days a year. So a lot of the times I would have this horrible conversation with my mother and then would hang up and have to get my head back into work, and it was just getting harder and harder. So if you're stressed and overwhelmed, I know just how you feel. And I knew I had to figure out some way to talk with her so that she would willingly do what was in her best interest, other than trial and error and, you know, all the arguments. So I did a lot of research and talked with hundreds of seniors and their families and professionals with senior clients and created what has eventually turned out to be the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, which helps the generations successfully help each other without the time and the money and the stress of trial and error. And then soon friends were calling, and then friends of friends and total strangers. And finally, almost 10 years ago, I left my corporate job and started AgeWise Living. And I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I created and teach senior housing management. Now, I'd much rather help people avoid problems before they happen. I do the one-on-one generational coaching, and I do a lot of work one-on-one with people, but I'd rather help people before the problems occur. So I also do seminars, which brings us to tonight's seminar. Now, did you know that the average time most baby boomers are involved in their parents' care is 15 years? My journey with my mother was 17 years. That's a long time to be providing elder care by trial and error. And the great news, as I said before, is it doesn't have to be that way for you, because I poured all of my 25 years of elder care experience into developing the 13 steps we're going to cover tonight. And the first of the 13 steps is acknowledging yourself for everything you're doing to help your aging loved one. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But regardless of why you're doing it or how you're feeling about doing it, you are doing it. And you owe it to yourself to stop and acknowledge yourself at least once a day for that. We almost never do. We caregivers, we just get so buried in it, and we get so overwhelmed by it. We don't stop and say, you know what, well done you. So I want you to really stop, and I mean every day, and at least once a day, say to yourself, well done you, because it's a big deal. The second step, then, is to figure out where you are now. And this is an extremely important step, because if you don't know where you are now, you really won't have a handle on what the real problem is. Even if you are already knee-deep in elder care, I want you to stop and give yourself some time to really think about what the real problem is. Spend time on this step, because if you don't know where or what the core problem is, you'll most likely spend a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy going in the wrong direction or addressing a symptom rather than the real problem. Now, most people say to me, I know what the real problem is. For example, my mother shouldn't live alone in her own house anymore. The question, though, is why shouldn't she live in her own house? Why? Is it because it's an unsafe neighborhood? Are there too many stairs that she can't maintain her house? Is it too much house? What part of the house can't she maintain? The inside, the outside, both? Is there dementia? All of these are questions to ask yourself until you get to the root cause. And as I said, spend time on this step and really figure out the real issue. And then, once you figure out where you are now, then and only then, you'll determine where you're going. And that is determine your goals. Many people like a long list of goals. A lot of people, you know, the longer the list, the better it is somehow. Or They have just one goal, which is to move their aging loved one into an assisted living or a nursing home. I mean, they say to me, after all, that's where they're going to end up eventually anyway, right? And I've actually had people who've said that to me, and I'm thinking to myself, so you wonder why your parents have stopped talking to you? Hello? I mean, I don't actually say that to them, but hello? You know, yeah, that may be where they end up, but that's not your goal. And that may be the end-up solution, but I say really there are three goals and three goals only. And these are really important, so please write them down. Goal number one is that your aging loved one is safe. Goal number two is that your aging loved one is as healthy as possible. And goal number three is that your aging loved one is happy. That's it. That your aging loved one is safe, that they're as healthy as possible, and that they're happy. And if you focus on these three goals, the rest of the decisions will be a lot easier to make, because then your determining questions are, will this make him or her safe? Will this make help maintain or improve his or her health? And will this make him or her happy? Now, in reality, you may only achieve two out of the three goals, but as they say, two out of three ain't bad. And the fact is, those all three are your goals. And I really want you to keep these three goals in mind, because everything else that follows tonight will be about providing these three goals. And step number four is, what are your priorities? Now, you know, really think about it. There's a big difference between what you want, what you need, and what you need now. And when setting priorities, too often we look at everything and get so overwhelmed, we just get crushed by everything that we think we have to do, and we just stop and hope that it all is going to just go away. The best way to keep from getting overwhelmed is determine what you need now to resolve the current situation. Again, priorities that will help you to achieve your three goals, that they're safe, that they're as healthy as possible, and that they're as happy as possible. And then once you decide what you need now, then you can look at anticipating and resolving future issues. As I said, elder care issues resolved by choice, not crisis, is important. So you're going to look, you want to resolve your current issues, and then you'll look at anticipating and resolving future issues, but only after you've dealt with the current issues. And in addition, what's cool about that is focusing on what you need now may resolve issues that might have come up later. And then step number five is determine the tasks. Now that you've determined your priorities, now you write a task list. In other words, think of your tasks as how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. For example, for years I had on my to-do list to get an MBA. And literally years it was on my to-do list, and it kept getting transferred. As I rewrote the to-do list, it kept getting transferred. It stayed and stayed and stayed. And finally I realized that I probably should take my own advice, and I broke it down into little bite-sized pieces. Okay, find the schools that offer an MBA. Then write away for the catalogs, and then fill out the applications, and sign up for the GMATs, and you get the idea. And eventually, over time, I actually did get my MBA from Boston University. I'm very proud of that. Thank you very much. But think of it as really one task at a time. That's the way to stay really focused and really calm. Now, for some of your elder care issues, it may take a week or two to get through the tasks. And for others, it may only take days. The best part about creating a task list is that it takes you from being overwhelmed and emotional to being focused and in your head. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's fun to cross items off my to-do list. Which brings us to step number six, which is to organize elder care. Now, elder care is usually overwhelming because things have a way of happening to you. In other words, a few unexpected things, elder care related things happen, and then a few more, and then a few more, and before you know it, you're overwhelmed and elder care has just taken over your life. In fact, a lot of times I felt like I was that game at the fair, what is it called, whack-a-mole, but without the cool prize. Every time I'd get one situation under control, another one would pop up. And even after 25 years as a caregiver, some days I'm the one with the mallet and some days I'm the mole. But the thing about elder care is that it's usually unpredictable. You know, unlike children where you can predict where they're going to be from year to year and that they're going to get more independent and they're going to go to school and you're going to have less involvement, elder care is very unpredictable, and it comes up oftentimes in a crisis. So you can't prepare. And it's intermittent for most people. So you can't always schedule it. You don't know when it's going to happen, and it's not happening all the time, so you can't set a schedule and know that you're going to have to be taking care of it on a particular time. Now, when our parents were taking care of their parents, the average length of caregiving was 3 to 5 years. Now it's closer to 15 to 20 years. And when it was only 3 to 5 years, you could sort of muddle your way through. So while in the past caregivers might have been able to wing it for a few years, winging it's no longer an option. I mean, you can't wing anything for 15 to 20 years and stay sane. The point is, you can't always predict your elder care issues, but you can prepare. One of the things, for example, one of the things that you can do is to organize is to figure out where all the important documents are. Birth certificates, marriage license, the living will, the health care proxy, the power of attorney, all those kinds of things, because trust me when I tell you that you will need them at the worst possible times. So that is really a great place to start. My mother died in the beginning of June, here I am grieving at one of the worst times of my life, and people are saying, oh, well, we need her birth certificate, we need your father's death certificate. I'm like, are you kidding? But no, you really do need to have all of those things. So that's a great place to start. And by the way, I've put together something I've called the AgeWise Living Legal and Financial Organizer, and where you can organize all this information and put down where everything is and numbers and all that kind of thing. So if you want me to email it to you, send an email to Barbara@AgeWiseLiving.com. And I will email you a copy. So that's Barbara@AgeWiseLiving.com. Now, many caregivers, especially women, find themselves doing all the work themselves because they really don't realize how much work it'll be until they're overwhelmed and struggling. Another reason, a big reason, caregivers often do it themselves is because of family dynamics. They just think it's easier to go it alone than get involved with all the huzzarai of all the family stuff. And it may seem that way for a while, but after a while, it really isn't. And on top of that, you end up really resenting them for not doing what you never asked them to do in the first place. So step number 7 is getting help from your family. And one of the hardest things about elder care is all that mommy and daddy stuff comes up. And, you know, the whole mom loved you more than she loved me stuff. And it really can bring out the best or the worst in people. So the solution, as it relates to getting your family to help, is to call the family together for a care planning meeting. Not a family meeting, which implies that they can also talk about all kinds of family stuff, but a care planning meeting, which is specifically to create a care plan for your aging loved one. And basically, a care planning meeting is to get everyone together and to create a care plan to do which is basically all the things we've been talking about. First of all, to determine the specific problem. You're the elder caregiver, and you're there every day. Once you figure it out, you know what the basic problem is. But if your siblings are spread out all over the country and they don't see it every day, they may not know what the specific problem is. They may not even know there is a problem. Have you told them? So here's a really good way of telling them what the and helping getting everybody together to determine the specific problem. And then establishing the goals. Remember, 3 goals: that your aging loved one is safe, that they're as healthy as possible, and that they're as happy as possible. And then determining your priorities. Where do you have to start? What comes first? Setting tasks. You know, eating it like an elephant, and then assigning who will do each task and by when. Now, up to now, you've been the one doing all the tasks. So here it is an opportunity to say, okay, I can't do it by myself, so now we need to assign tasks to other people as well. and by when it needs to get done, because a lot of times everybody comes together, they feel warm and fuzzy, and they absolutely want to help. They say they're going to help, and they are going to help. And then they go back to their real lives, and suddenly it just doesn't happen for a while. Oh, I had to catch up with work, and I had my kid. So here you have a by when, and so that everybody is committed to when it's going to happen. Now, in my Ultimate Caregiver Success System, I go into all kinds of detail about everything we've been talking about, including a lot of information about getting help from your family and running a care planning meeting and creating a care plan, like more than 20 pages of it, because it really can be so difficult and it is so important. So you have it there. But the most important thing to remember is that when all is said and done, you'll want to still have your family at the end of all your caregiving. So I sincerely recommend that you spend the time you need getting the family to work together and doing it in a way that also builds relationships. Now, ideally, you'll get all the SIBs to work together, and that's terrific. But a lot of adult children think that helping their aging loved one means they and their family have to do all the work. And that's simply not true. So step number 8 is getting external help. There are a lot of elder care resources out there that can provide a lot of support. Now, some of it you have to pay for, but a lot of it is free. It can be formal support, such as service agencies and community programs, and it can be informal, such as friends and neighbors. Maybe you carpool with a neighbor so that you take their parents and your parents to the senior center in the morning, and then they pick them up in the afternoon, something like that. Having the neighbors come in and mow the lawn, so to help take care of it. Whatever it is, the important, be creative. Be creative with it and getting external help. Also, just by the way, pharmacies are a great outside resource. If your aging loved one is taking a lot of medications and or seeing a number of different doctors, drug use or misuse can be a real problem. And this is especially true if they're also purchasing meds through the Internet. So really nobody knows what's going on. And, you go into the meeting with the doctor, your mother goes into, or father goes into the meeting with the doctor, and they don't remember what meds they're taking, which is why you need to keep track of all of that. But they don't know what kind of medication they're taking, and they don't remember it, so they don't tell them. And so it's really important that you have one person to act as the gatekeeper. And that's why I recommend that you set it up so that your aging loved one works with one pharmacy and have that pharmacy act as the gatekeeper. And even if they don't get all their drugs from that pharmacy, have them bring in all their prescription bottles and ask them to take a look at them. They're more than happy to do it. I mean, they may not be happy at that moment. They may say, please come back in an hour or something like that, but they're more than happy to do it. And if you find one that's not happy to do it, find another pharmacy. Oh, and whenever possible, select a pharmacy that delivers, and also one that can fill a prescription from anywhere, so that if they go on vacation or they come and visit you or whatever, it's a pharmacy that can fill a prescription from anywhere. The important thing to remember here is that you don't have to do it all yourself. There are external resources out there, and it's important to really avail yourself of them. And then step number 9 is knowing who your aging loved one is. Now, all the stuff I've been telling you is great. However, it won't do you any good unless you can successfully communicate with your aging loved one. And in order to do that, you have to know who they are generationally, emotionally, and personally. Now, this might sound kind of odd, but it's really important, because you need to know where your aging loved one is coming from, their point of view. It's human nature for us to think that others see things the way we do, especially if you come from the same family. And it's especially logical to think that your parents do. After all, I mean, they're your parents. And as a result, a lot of family members think they can skip knowing and understanding who their aging loved one is, only to discover the hard way that they can't, because we baby boomers will approach something in one particular way, and our parents, that can be for many parents like just throwing gasoline on the fire. So the fact is that generational attitudes and emotional perspectives matter a lot. Our parents' generation is very different from ours, and understanding and respecting how they view the world and feel about it emotionally is critical to your success. Or worse, if you're not sensitive to where they're coming from generationally and emotionally, not only won't you be successful, but you could end up in worse shape than when you started. Now, unfortunately, there isn't time for us to go into any detail tonight about who your aging loved ones are generationally, because there are actually two generations that we need to understand, the Victorian Depression era generation and the Silent Generation, or who they are emotionally or personally. These are actually three seminars in and of themselves. But because it's so important, I have lots of free information about the generations and emotions in the archive newsletters on my website. So if you're interested, go to agewiseliving.com and click on the newsletter page, and you'll see 5 years' worth of newsletters and lots of information about who your aging loved ones are generationally and emotionally. That's the newsletter page at agewiseliving.com. So step number 10, knowing what your aging loved one wants and helping them get it, which is huge. A lot of times family members want to help and just plow ahead without even considering asking their aging loved ones what they want. Sometimes it's because they just think they know best, and piece of that is that they also think in terms of parenting the parent, which is one of my biggest pet peeves, because you will never be parenting your parent. And when you think that way, what can happen, whether you mean it to happen or not, what can happen is that if you're the parent, they are by definition the child, and you start talking to them that way. And you never meant for that to happen, but it does. You know, sort of the verbal pat on the head. And your parents will rightfully get upset about it. This is a time when our parents are feeling the most vulnerable because they're losing control over their lives. They're losing their ability to, in some cases, to make their own decisions. And so they are feeling much more vulnerable. And so even if what you said today is exactly the same thing as what you said a month ago, and it was fine a month ago, it may be a problem today. And that's especially if you're thinking in terms of parenting the parent, because they're so much more sensitive. So rather than thinking in terms of parenting the parent, better to think in terms of this being a collaboration between two adults, because really, when all is said and done, that's exactly what this is. Another reason that family members often don't ask their aging loved ones what they want is they just want it over. You know, it's just like, just move them into a nursing home. They're going to end up there anyway. You know, I just want it over. Why not just cut to the chase, go all the way to the end, and that way we only have to do this once and we never have to deal with it again. Well, I suppose that's kind of true, but you could then, you know, put your kids in a nursing home too, because after all, that's where they're going to end up. I mean, it just doesn't work. Absolutely doesn't work. And I understand that you want it to be over, but the fact of the matter is, jumping ahead to the worst-case scenario and trying to push that when there really isn't a need for it is really going to get you a stone wall and just shut everything down. And then sometimes families do ask, but they ask in a way that somehow ends up in an argument or ends up completely shut out. And sometimes that's because they didn't understand where their loved ones were coming from generationally and or emotionally. Great. So what do you do? Well, if you don't know what they want, then you can, again, go to the newsletter page on my website, agewiseliving.com, and download a form called What Do I Want for the Third Half of My Life? It's a form. There's a big button up on the top right. It's a free form. Just download that and work with your aging loved one on that. That's if you don't know what they want. But a lot of times you do know. Let's say, for example, they want to stay in their own home, because that's probably the biggest one and the one you'll see most often. And chances are there are advantages to that, to them staying in their own home. But it's also entirely likely that there are disadvantages to it. So what I recommend is that together you sit down and fill out a pro-con sheet. So let's use that as an example, the example of having them live in their own home. So what are some of the pros? Well, the house is paid for. They don't have to move, because moving, especially if they have a house with all the stuff that I know that my parents had in it, that's a huge bonus. Everything around it is familiar. They have a support system or something of a support system in place, whatever. And those are all really good reasons. But there are also some cons, so let's look at them too. So let's say, for example, the house isn't safe because they can't maintain it anymore. Like, they can't do the yard work, they can't fix the, you know, the railing, they can't shovel in the winter time. They can't keep up the interior of the house. The housework is just getting to be too much for them, and it's getting dirty, and it's getting cluttered, and it's getting old and tattered. And maybe they're not eating properly. So the pros were good, but the cons are legit too. So now you talk about it, and maybe you say, and you're going to make as long a list of pros and as long a list of cons as you possibly can. So now you talk about it, and you might say something like, "Mom, I just want you to be safe and healthy and happy, and I know staying in your own home will make you happy, and that's what I want for you too. However, you also have to be safe and healthy. So let's together, you and I, Mom, let's together look at the cons and see how we can make you safe and happy too. For example, maybe a neighborhood kid can come and maintain the outside of the house. They can mow the lawn and shovel the snow and get rid of the ice and stuff like that. Maybe you can get someone to come in and clean two or three times a week. And okay, two or three times a week, they say no, no, no. So you negotiate it to one or two times a week or maybe once a week. Maybe they'll have Meals on Wheels delivered because they're not eating properly. Now, people often say, yeah, but they refused to do this before. I know. Although they may have refused those things before, they'll probably agree now because it's a very small price to pay for them to get what they want, which is to stay in their own home. And you're getting what you want too. Remember your goals for them to be safe and healthy and happy. And the advantage of this is also that if the cons are really serious and outweigh the pros, this exercise will help them to see it and eventually be more willing to cooperate if they can't stay in their own home. But the important thing with this exercise is that you are helping them get what they want, and you're achieving your three goals too. Which brings us to step number 11, which is communicate, 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 communicate. If I were a betting woman, I'd bet all this year's income that trying to resolve all your elder care issues in one big conversation with your aging loved one won't work. And the problem with pinning all your hopes on one big conversation is, if it doesn't work, you're toast. But if you have lots of little conversations, if one conversation doesn't go well, you can always come back. You always put it down and come back. How do you get started? Well, you get started by finding pleasant topics that focus on an activity rather than on the person. For example, reminiscing. One huge thing that I can't recommend more highly, and that is sitting down and going through pictures, old pictures, and labeling them, please. I can't tell you how it broke my heart to get rid of so many family pictures, because it's just my two sisters and me now, and we don't know who any of these people are. And by the time it occurred to me, after my father died, it occurred to me to ask my mother. The dementia had already come in, and she didn't remember who they were. So please, 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 that's a really good thing to do, is to look at old pictures and label them or do a family tree. And why? Because it's so much better to find pleasant topics that focus on the activity rather than the person, rather than sitting there. And you know how you feel when somebody's sitting there and they sort of narrow in on you. So how are you? Tell me about what work. Tell me about school. Tell me about home. Tell me about the kids. Tell me the, and you know, you're like, whoa, backing off. This way you're focusing on an activity and other things come up. picture of grandma. Oh, who is that with grandma? Oh, that was her third husband. I didn't know she had a third husband. Or that was daddy when he was young and she came and lived with us. Oh, how did that go? She lived with you. I didn't know that. How was it? Oh, it was horrible. She was my mother-in-law. We hated it. See, these are the kinds of things that now in probably at a later time, the idea of maybe mom, you know, and living with you or if issues come up or whatever, you can refer back to this and make it so that it is something that works better for you. At any rate, reminiscing, looking at old pictures, doing a family tree, going through the trunks while cleaning the attic, even just cooking and baking and gardening and working together. And then when you're ready for more substantive topics, then you can talk about those, like show them the age-wise living, legal, and financial organizer that you're going to email me for, and suggest they do that too and talk about that. But whatever you talk about, remember that lots of small conversations over time is what works. Which brings us to step number 12, which is to take care of yourself. All elder caregivers seem to have one trait in common, and that is that they take care of everyone else, especially their aging loved one, before they take care of themselves. It just seems to be fact. But the reality is, if you don't take care of yourself, you'll be no good to anyone else, not your family, not your friends, not your aging loved one, and especially not yourself. And I've actually said this. I was going to say I've had people say it to me. Yeah, well, I've actually said it myself, that it seems selfish or self-serving to take care of myself. I would go to visit my mother every weekend, and I'd say, oh, it feels really selfish to take a weekend and not go to visit her. It's like, hey, you need the time, too. It is not selfish or self-serving to take care of yourself. It's simply a matter of if you want to help others, you have to help yourself. Yes, that means eating right and sleeping and exercise and spending time doing things for yourself. But that also means doing all the things that we've talked about, especially asking for and getting help from family and friends and outside services. And that's often hard for women because we're not used to asking for or accepting help. But as I said earlier, the average number of years a caregiver provides elder care is 15 years. So this is the time to ask for and accept help so that you can take care of yourself over the long haul. And then step number 13, and that is to start now. It's human nature to put things off until there's some sort of a crisis. And with everything else we have in our lives, many times, unless it's a crisis, it just doesn't even make it to the to-do list. However, by then it's often too late. So really, really, really start now, because by starting now, you can build trust and open the lines of communications so that you can resolve issues before they become a crisis, so that you can plan and prepare before it becomes a crisis, but also so that you can open the lines of communications while your loved ones are still alive. As I mentioned, my father died many years ago, and he and I never had this conversation about his family and who everybody was and the family tree and all of the rest of it. I mean, I heard stories, but never really wrote anything down and never identified the pictures. My father was an only child, so when he died, that half of my family went with him. Also, communicate and start now to open the lines of communication while they can still remember. My mother, as I mentioned, my mother had severe advanced dementia. And it was particularly bad for the past 10 years, but I was her caregiver for 17 years, and my father even asked me if I'd noticed she was forgetful, you know, before he died, so that was at least 17 years ago. And after Daddy died and I started thinking about, gee, I really ought to get more information, by then my mother's dementia had started and she really didn't remember things. We didn't always know whether she was remembering it correctly. And my mother was an only child. So now that she has died, now that once the dementia set in and now that she's died, that half of the family is gone. And it's just the three sisters and I and some and me and some of the stuff they remember and some of the stuff they don't. But it's you don't want that to happen to you. So start now so that you can save the family history for your family, so that you can pass it on in your generations, and so that you can maintain family relationships and enjoy the remaining time you have. Now, listening to these 13 steps, you probably know deep down inside that they make sense. But you probably are wondering if they work. Well, here are just a handful of the success stories. Actually, you'll find these and others on my website, the Ultimate Caregivers Success System. One is from Marilyn, who met with her mom and dad after she got the Ultimate Caregivers Success System. She met with her mom and dad, and she used the suggestions from the Ultimate Caregivers Success System. And her mom suddenly changed and was willing to talk with her. And so in one visit, she was able to help her parents find all their important papers and get everything organized. And they were able to discuss a lot of the details about their wishes for current care and prepare for the future. And they even agreed to let her hire a visiting nurse, which they had always resisted in the past. Another one, within 2 weeks, Gail Proto was able to help her dad make the decision to finally move into an assisted living residence, which was accomplishing something she had struggled with for months. In one visit, Michelle Quintana was able to talk to her father, a Cuban refugee who had been living in the past for many years. And using the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, she was immediately able to open up taboo topics with her father that he'd never discussed before. And Rochelle Agar is a long-distance caregiver. Her father lives 2,500 miles away. And she said, everything was laid out for me so that I could address every issue that came up. With the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, we are finally resolving issues that my father wouldn't even talk to me about before. And this is just a small representation of all the testimonials we receive about the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, and there are so many more, and it makes me feel wonderful because this is something that means so much to me. And you may be wondering if you're going to get similar results. Well, this approach to elder care hasn't been taught anywhere else in the world by anyone else. Now, sure, you can learn all you want about what to do to resolve your elder care issues, and there's plenty of stuff out there for you to read. In fact, if you Google elder care, over 4 million entries come up. So the information is there, but do you really want to sort through 4 million entries and figure out what's right for you? Besides, as I said in the beginning, knowing what to do and getting your aging loved one to do it are two very different things. And I'm so saddened and tired of seeing people struggle or experience the trial and error way that most elder care providers do when I know the secrets and I've created the system to avoid that struggle forever. And that's why I put together the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, because being a caregiver is overwhelming and time-consuming enough. The last thing you want to do is reinvent the wheel or waste years of time and thousands of dollars and your last nerve doing it by trial and error. So you can either do that or you can use the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. And I know people really need this. I mean, over 1,300 people signed up for this call alone. And the way I've presented the Ultimate Caregiver Success System is the way I provide this in my private coaching, which is step by step. It's not a big mishmash of ideas, but it's a step by step, almost paint by number, with examples and systems that can easily be plugged in. I mean, it's totally turnkey. So, with your permission, let me really quickly tell you a little bit more about the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. So, starting with the Ultimate Caregiver Success Guide, which is over 200 pages, but it's easy to follow. It's really well-organized, step-by-step solutions that really carefully guide you through the most pressing questions. All the things that we talked about tonight, all of that is laid out in there. It gives you worksheets. It gives you lots of examples, all the kinds of things that you need, and it has comprehensive checklists and sample worksheets so that you can see what, you know, see examples of things, so that absolutely nothing is left to chance. So this is really the nitty-gritty. But there's also lots of other valuable information that's not nitty-gritty, but it's really valuable too. So the Ultimate Caregiver Success System also includes 6 audio CDs which complement the material in the Ultimate Caregiver Success Guide. It's called The Heart of the Matter, and the CDs in this box set seamlessly guide you through the what's and whys behind what's in the workbook. For example, remember I mentioned the importance of knowing about the generations and also knowing where they're coming from emotionally? Well, 3 of the CDs in the Heart of the Matter set are who your aging loved ones are generationally. 2 of them is who they are generationally, and 1 is who they are emotionally. So it gives, they're our CDs, and they give lots and lots of information because it's background information that makes it all just, it's like, oh, my God, of course. Why didn't I think of that before? And also included is a CD of all the forms and the worksheets in the Ultimate Caregiver Success Guide, so you don't have to, you know, pull pages out and Xerox it and stuff like that. There's a CD, you just download as many as you need, as well as a Rolodex of all of my outside resources. So that's 8 CDs that come in a box set called The Heart of the Matter. And then you also receive the AgeWise Living Expert Series. Now, this is a special bonus collection. It's 3 audio CDs that features the latest expert's advice from an elder law attorney, a personal financial planner, and a family relationship expert. And trust me, this is not a whole bunch of theory. I know, for myself, I know that I want heavy-duty information that I can start using the minute I get it. I want to take it out. I want to open up the book. I want to listen to the CDs, but I want to take out the book and say, this is exactly what I need, and take it with me. I want meaningful breakthroughs. I want how-to and examples to model as soon as I get it in the mail. And I know that's what you want, too. So that's what you get with the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, because I put it together the way most caregivers tell me is exactly what they want. Because really, I mean, aren't you worth it? Now, hopefully you can tell how passionate and invested I am about making you successful with this. And that's because this is my life's work. And this is, honestly, this is why I'm here on this planet, to help people get out of their own way and to help them do one of the most loving things they can do for their aging loved ones, for their families, and for themselves. Now, I want you to have every reason to get started right now and to be on your way to resolving your elder care issues quickly and easily by choice and not by crisis. So I'd like to tell you about 3 other things and 3 other ways that I will make doing that easy for you if you purchase the Ultimate Caregiver Success System by midnight Eastern Time on July 31st. The first is, remember when I was talking about how important it is to know who your aging loved one is generationally, emotionally, and personally, and you get the CDs of who they are generationally and emotionally? Well, when you buy by July 31st, you'll also get an in-depth evaluation of who your own aging loved one is as a unique individual. You get this information. It's based on responses to 4 simple questions, and then you and I have a phone conversation, and I give you an in-depth picture of your aging loved one, who he or she is as an individual. And if you're working with 2 parents, you get an in-depth portrait of both. In addition, you get specific recommendations for communicating with your unique aging loved ones, and the interpretations of the responses to your questions is extremely important, but knowing what to do with that information is the key to your success. So I really think that this element alone is worth the cost of the entire system. And as I said, it's by phone, so we actually spend an hour with talking about your own unique situation, your own unique aging loved one. So I just think that's huge. I really do. The second way I want to make it super easy for you to purchase the Success System is by giving you a 3-installment option. I'm aware that cash flow is a big issue for a lot of caregivers, and that's why I've put it together so that you get a special 3-installment payment plan, which means that if you purchase the Ultimate Caregiver Success System now, you'll actually be paying for 2/3 of it after you start being successful. So I think that's pretty cool. And then finally, if you purchase the Ultimate Caregiver Success System by Friday, July 31st, you're going to get $50 off the full price. And I'm doing this because I know that sometimes life gets in the way of us doing things we want to do and that we need to do. And so I want to stop you from second-guessing yourself and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And I think that giving you the $50 off is a great way to do that and making it by July 31st so you don't keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until it's a crisis. So you get the $50 off so long as you do it by July 31st. That's midnight, it's a Friday, I think, Friday, July 31st. And I think all of those are really cool, don't you? I'm pretty happy with that. However, this is really important to get all three of these incentives, including the $50 off the regular price. You have to purchase it before midnight Eastern Time, July 31st. And you can do that by going to theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. Again, that's theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. Theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. And after Friday, July 31st, you pay retail, and no exception. So please, please, please do it right away. And this is just so major to change your life. I really would believe that. Now, we're running out of time, but I want to ask you to do one more quick thing. Before we end the call, I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I mean it. Just stop doing what you're doing and close your eyes. And imagine what your life will be like when you and your aging loved one are working together to get their life in order. I mean, imagine this, because this is your life too. Imagine what it would be like to have your parents working with you to do what is in their best interest. Imagine having conversations that are successful and result not only in decisions being made, but change actually taking place. Imagine having conversations that get deeper and deeper and finally having the relationship you always wanted. In addition, imagine that your siblings are also working with you. Your siblings are working with you, regardless of past experiences and relationships. Now imagine that you're finally able to have more time with the rest of your family, your spouse and your kids, and you finally have the time to do some of the things for yourself that you've always wanted to do. And imagine that you're able to concentrate on work without the constant interruptions that elder care crisis after crisis. But the best part is, imagine you have a sense of freedom and peace you haven't had for a long time, that you're the most confident and relaxed than you've been for years, and that you're doing what you meant to do. You feel grateful every day that you get to do this and to be of service to your parents in a loving and beautiful way, so that it's something that you want to do instead of an obligation. And imagine in future years, after your aging loved one passes on, feeling free of the guilt, knowing that you did everything that you could. I mean, really, isn't that what you really want? Then I urge you to do something about it today. Really, don't go back to doing the same things, you know, the same way you've always been doing them, just going from crisis to crisis. Just by the sheer fact that you're listening to this call tells me that you don't want to continue reacting to crisis after crisis. Now, for more details and to purchase the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, please go right now to theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. And please do that right now, theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. Please don't wait, and I certainly don't want you to wait until after July 31st and then kick yourself when the special offer is over. So, again, that's theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com, and I look forward to working with you. And so with that, this is Barbara Friesner saying thanks for joining me tonight, and I'm sending you all big virtual hugs. Bye-bye, everyone. Good night.